Thank you. Next, please.
Amendment number 1A021, org numbers 1130, 1140, 1151, 1152, 1160, 5700, 5800, 8000, W061901, and W0870.
Supervisor Coney.
Mr. Chairman, I would move adoption, and also I think Supervisor Bowen has asked to be added as a co-sponsor, so I would ask that be done. Let me walk you through this amendment. I've spoken to many of you about this, but let me just explain to you and the public what this does. You know, earlier in the week we had a letter from the county executive to all supervisors talking about how, you know, maybe I was going to be making some dire staff cuts and I was going to endanger county services and things like that. I think this is a reasonable approach. I did have a chance to meet with the county executive yesterday about this, and we discussed it, and I think it was a cordial discussion, and I think it's safe to say we agreed to disagree on whether or not this was a good idea, and he probably wouldn't support this idea. So that being said, let me explain to you what's in it. It starts off with the human resources part, where we have a couple of pay ranges. Now, that's been an issue that I've been trying to get my head around since I've been here. We have a pay grade from 903E that goes from $98,000 to $142,000. It has a minimum and a mid and a maximum grade. The mid grade ends at $120,613. And then we have a 904E that starts, I don't have it in front of me, but I think at $126,000 and goes to $266,000. So what this amendment does is it takes a group of our employees who are in the 903 range, keeps them in the 903 grade, but eliminates the maximum level. So the top of the 903 pay range is, instead of being $142,000, is then $120,613. It exempts from those people who are currently in the 903 pay grade the airport director, the zoological director, the chief information officer, the parks director, and the corporation counsel. And it moves them into 904E, so there would be no effect at all on their compensation. It also states that any position that is currently in 903E that is greater than the 126.13, that position would have their pay reduced to reflect the new range, and that the incumbent individual could not be red circled. For those of you who are not familiar with the term red circled, what that means is that if you have a situation like this, and maybe with the JEQ that could be coming, red circling says that, well, if we determine that your position, you're overpaid in your position, if you're the incumbent, we're going to leave you there. You're not going to be getting the market rate. But if, and then when you leave, then that position would revert to the market rate. I don't think that's going to be the recommendation for the JEQ. If those pay ranges are moved up, they're going to move the people up. They won't red circle them in at their rate. At least that's been my understanding. So I just compared a couple of these positions with their state counterparts so that we, you know, I like to be data-driven. And so what you see here is a comparison between some of them, and we have, for instance, the Secretary of the State Department of Transportation, their salary, and the county salary, which are relatively comparable, but the state DOT secretary has 3,521 employees, and our county director oversees 467. At the state, they have the Department of Administration, and that's called the secretary, and that basically runs the whole show in state government. And then we have the county DAS director, who sort of serves a similar function. The state DOA director makes $16,000 less than the person who does a similar job at the county. And the state DOA secretary has about 1,000 employees, and our DAS director has about a third of that. And then the other one I mentioned is the DHS secretary at the state compared to ours. You can see that our DHS director does make slightly less than the state DHS director, but has about 5,000 less employees to oversee. So that was my reasoning for saying, you know, maybe some of our top-level management people are a little bit overcompensated compared to some of their government counterparts. The next part deals with the vacancy and turnover rates, and you'll see at about the middle of page one that in the Division of Human Resources, we decreased the V&T by $129,666. And that number wasn't pulled out of thin air. It is the equivalent of one of the management positions in the Executive Director 2 range, of which there are three, I think. It doesn't mean that any one of those people would be laid off. It means that the Human Resources Director would have that much less money to work with their budget. If we compare that to last year the Human Resources Department V&T was 95%. This year the proposed is 97%. This just gets the Human Resources Department back at 2013 level. And I'm certain, based on discussions we've had over the past few days about departments' budgets, that Ms. Mitchell can work with that. The next part just denies the creation of two new positions of management assistants that were asked for in the budget. I just don't think we need to be adding positions at this point. If you go to page two, we deal with DAS Fiscal Affairs, and we have a position of Fiscal and Strategic Plan Coordinator and Fiscal and Performance Management Coordinator, those have at least been vacant for most of the year, and it eliminates those for a savings of $238,312. The next section deals with vacancy and turnover in various departments. And again, I looked at these departments. For the most part, these departments were at 100% as opposed to any reduction. And it gets them, again, to the 95% level approximately. This wasn't pulled out of thin air. So you can see the numbers for Corporation Council, DAS Fiscal, DAS Procurement, IMSD, and DAS Facilities Management. We then go to the Department of Transportation Director's Office, where two new positions were requested. We would deny those positions. The next one is the Juvenile Detention Center. You may recall during our budget hearing, we had a discussion of whether or not a deputy superintendent should be created at the Juvenile Detention Center, and we were informed that that position hadn't existed since 2002. But somehow we need it now. The last two are simply things that are in the capital budget. We had an appropriation for $50,000 of sales tax revenue that was provided for the Department of Transportation to deal with special assessments. I really felt we didn't need to levy more sales tax for that. I think their budget is somewhere around $260 million. I thought that the director could find $50,000 approximately to pay for these if that occurred. And then lastly, we have the $250,000 appropriation for IMSD of sales tax for their recovery system. And I did ask the IMSD representatives at the hearing, and they felt that they couldn't absorb that. I guess I disagree. Their budget's about between $15 and $16 million, and I thought that they could probably find it in their budget, the $250,000, to do that. So you get to the final page, and the overall effect of this is $1.3 million tax levy reduction from our budget. So I'm willing to answer any questions that anybody has. on it, and you may want to double-check, Madam Clerk, but the chairwoman had told me she wanted her name as a co-sponsor, and maybe during the discussion if someone can check with her office so that we have that. And I move approval.
Thank you, Supervisor. Dr. Coulter.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. I'm wondering if we could hear from Corporation Counsel on this amendment.
Mr. Barber.
Glad to answer questions. I'm not sure. I talked a little, or I sent an email to Supervisor Bowen or Supervisor Cullen, but.
And so for what you discussed, there, this could be done? Is there a question as to whether this can be done?
My opinion and the discussion we had yesterday, yes, Chairman and Supervisors, is that the first two sections of this amendment fall outside the county board's realm, fall in the county executive's realm. There are reallocations of...
Would you repeat that, sir?
Yes. The first two paragraphs on page one of the amendment, mm-hmm, their underlying text there, the paragraph starting adjust the 903E executive and adjust in the paragraph starting this pay grade.
Yes, sir.
In my view, those are reallocations of exempt positions. As we discussed yesterday, I believe that's under the new statutes and that falls within the county executive's purview, not the county board's.
Supervisor Cullen.
I think it should be clear that Mr. Bargren did send out a memo earlier this week as sort of a precursor, and he said this was a close call in his mind. I mean, he's a lawyer, not a judge. I spoke to the lawyers that the board has retained, and he disagreed with that opinion. We have We at some point, I think, are going to have a determination under Act 14 between what is policy and what is an administrative duty. The board has the function of controlling the budget. I would say I don't know how we control the budget without controlling some of the positions and the salaries those positions are paid, because they can be appropriated. The other option that we would have, and I haven't discussed this with Mr. Bargren, is we could just simply go through every department and reduce their salary and their staff and stuff, as they called it, their salary and their V&T accounts much more than this, and have the same effect. I think this was much more surgical, and it appears that perhaps the administration wants to go to war on protecting the salaries of high-level people. And that may be something that we have to do, and it may end up being that a judge has to decide if we can do this. But at this point, we have an opinion from Mr. Bargren, who I don't know that anybody on the board was able to talk to before he was appointed, to see if he was their choice to be the corporation counsel. And then we have an opinion on the other side. That's what lawyers do. They advise. So I didn't do this without talking to a lot of people, including our legal counsel. So I respect Mr. Bargren and his opinion, but I guess I just don't agree.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did read the memo as well, so I'm having a little trouble squaring up the statement that whole section you take issue with, because is it not the role of the board to establish the pay grade, the table, the ranges?
The pay grade that I was referring to in the memo is for the classified or civil service employees that arises out of this section 6311 in the statutes. The non-exempt or non-civil service appointees would be within the county executive's discretion, in my view.
I thought he could. I thought the determination was that he could move them within the grade administratively, but that it is a policy to establish the pay grades at all for all employees.
No, I think my pay grade assessment was limited to the civil service positions.
So are you telling me that he can move them anywhere on? He could pay any amount to any employee that's exempt?
Within the budget constraints of the overall budget.
Well, I think that's worthy of being tested if that's a close call. It's not a close call in my mind that would be a poor public policy if that were in fact the case. So I'll stand by it, and we can work this out subsequently, I guess.
Supervisor Haas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So one section of this resolution I have I'm curious about is the effect on IMSD with regard to the emergency response, the disaster recovery services. The original language had an appropriation of $250,000 coming from the sales tax revenue that would go to pay for, it says, budgeted for the planning and design of a computing solution for disaster recovery services. Financing is provided from $250,000 in sales tax revenue. The new language says that the division, IMSD, they're still a division, not a department, shall expend up to $250,000 in existing allocations within its operating budgets for the planning and design of a computing solution for disaster recovery services. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hear from Director Lindbergh. I've not had a chance to speak with him about this.
Director Lindbergh?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, the courthouse fire this summer, I got a chance, and it wasn't fun, but I was down there the day of the fire, and in the data center, and the conditions were frightening, to say the least, at least for an IT person. I could have broken an egg on any piece of equipment and fried it. We came this close to, in my opinion, an unmitigated disaster. We had the ability to recover data, but if we don't have the systems to recover the data too, we're not only placing county operations and business at risk, we're placing public safety at risk, human and health needs. So it was a big learning experience for me, and I think it's important that IMSD and Milwaukee County take a serious look at its data center services and understand how we're going to not only plan for disasters, but increase the efficiency of overall operations. Typically, this starts with understanding where you are, that's current state, painting a picture for the future, and then creating a plan to get there. The dollars allocated that I'm asking for in 2014 is to start us down that path to understand what we have with respect to applications and then begin to prioritize them in terms of availability. Do they have to be available 24/7 or eight hours a day, five days a week? Those are important questions to ask because we have to design, change, or implement systems that meet those requirements. And there's a cost impact with every decision we make. If we need high availability 24/7, the cost is up here to maintain that level of services. I would like to understand what systems require that degree of availability so that as we begin to design our next step with respect to data center services, we're making financially sound decisions. So my concern here is that I don't have flexibility in my budget. I don't. And when I make a decision on how I'm going to spend money, I look at two things. I look at business value and risk mitigation. In this case, the probability could be low that it's a 0.1, 0.1 probability we'll have a disaster. But the business impact is huge. We have to address that. So I'm going to be looking at risk and other things when I make a decision around an investment, as well as business value. I will also look at the probability of my being successful. I can't absorb this. If I am forced to absorb this, I won't do the work. And I will allocate the monies to where I can be successful and drive some value. This is the start of a long path down to constructing data center services that meet the needs of Milwaukee County and our citizens.
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I appreciate hearing from the director. I'm still a little perplexed as to, well, what would prevent you, other than your will, from doing this? I didn't hear an explanation. You know, what is the obstacle? I understand you'd have, this would be a cut. No one likes to cut. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about getting cut, buddy. Okay.
Yeah.
That said, no, sincerely, Director, I'm still trying to see what is the obstacle this amendment would create for you and for your department.
I don't have movement in my budget. I am already cutting services and trying to make do with what I have. To absorb $250,000 and do this work with no ability to move forward tells me this is a wasted spend. I'm just not going to do it. I'm very pragmatic on how I spend money. If I spend $10 but I can't get the 25 back that I think I'm going to get, I'm not going to spend the original 10. So this is, for me, a very pragmatic decision. So I just don't have room in my operating budget to absorb this $250,000, knowing that this is just the start of where we need to go.
So, again, there's no room in your operating budget, is what you're telling me.
That's correct. That's correct.
And then you'd refuse to carry out this budgeted...
Well, according to this amendment, I have the ability to spend anywhere between zero and $250,000. It's at my discretion. So I will look at what we're taking on next year and just make the appropriate decisions.
Okay. So IMSD shall spend, the amendment says, IMSD shall spend up to $250,000 in existing allocations within its operating budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
Supervisor Collins?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at your budget, and you have, I mean, I just have the drips and drabs of information that we have here. I didn't bring the other thing that goes line by line. So, and I, you know, you're the expert, but I see you have over $7 million in operation costs and $7 million in personnel costs. As we've seen over the past few weeks, the administration presented a budget to us that was out of balance by $2 to $3 million. And Mr. Fudge was able to find that overnight and say, well, let's just take a little out of this, a little out of that. I mean, you're a far brighter person than I, and I trust that if you think this is important, that you can find it in your budget. And if it means, you know, doing some other cost-saving measures, I trust that you can do it. So $250,000 out of over $14 million in personnel and operations costs, you know, I think it was Laura Pinelli who used the staff and stuff line. I mean, you know, this is a difficult budget time for all of us, and we're trying to be prudent with the taxpayers' money, and I'm not suggesting that you're not.
Understood.
But I would like you to be even more prudent if that's possible.
May I respond to that, please? Am I allowed to?
Please, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe our budget has been relatively flat since 2002. I think we need to dispel the notion that IT is cheap. It isn't cheap. It's actually expensive. Our problem is it's becoming more expensive because we're not making the appropriate investments, and we have a lot of uncontrolled spend throughout Milwaukee County. If we want to become more efficient with IT, then let's just not centralize the people. Let's centralize and manage how we're spending money. IT it is going to be expensive. We have to accept this. Milwaukee County is a big business. We're, what, about a $1.3 billion business?
Yes.
And while these numbers are big, they're within industry standards for government, about 1.2% of revenue. So it's not that I'm asking for too much. I'm just asking for enough to get my job done. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go on Budget Administrator Fudge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. With regard to the mistakes that were made in the budget and finding the alternatives, we were able to solve them mainly because of new information. And fortunately, we budgeted conservatively in a number of areas like child support, We had new information related to the TIF revenue, related to dental insurance, related to health insurance. So those were specific items where we realized we had dollars available to fix the mistakes that we made. We didn't fix the mistakes by looking at large departments and saying, well, they can cut 2% here and we'll just take the funding. Second, while I have the opportunity related to DAS Fiscal, if this amendment is approved, my office will not have the resources to staff the Capital Improvement Committee, the strategic planning work group that was envisioned in a previous amendment, or the work group related to the land sales amendment that follows. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
CIC, strategic planning work group, and what was, did you give a third one?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, there's a process envisioned in an upcoming amendment related to land sales that I am not entirely sure we would have the resources to provide that. And that's because during the winter and the spring, you know, not during peak budget time as most people consider it, we are busy planning for the upcoming year, getting our systems ready, testing things, looking at items coming down the pike. I had emailed out sort of the vision behind our 2014 request. We had eliminated a management position, and that process would only work if we have the two coordinators available to absorb some of those duties and to absorb some of the strategic planning. We're still losing, obviously, the assistant director. If we lose these two coordinators, my staff will not have the capacity to do these extra projects.
Thank you. Director Tyler.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, very briefly, I just want to, obviously, I just want to support the director's position on that. I also wanted to support Mr. Lindbergh's thoughts as it relates to where we stand on the data center. And I'm hoping that Supervisor Haas acknowledges what he has seen down in that data center basement. It's unbelievable when Chris came here, joined this organization, to see that we've got not only our primary data center, but our backup data center virtually side by side. That is absolutely unheard of. And the courthouse fire brought it to light. If you think that a courthouse fire causes disruption to the business, you can imagine what could happen if we had a data center go down countywide, the impact relative to, like Chris related, the airport, accounts payable, the zoo. It goes on and on and on and on. And that data center, the way it's configured, this is a better environment than the data center is. It's a terrible situation. We inherited it, and we're asking for the funding to fix it. And we'd ask for your consideration on that front. The last thing I'd like to say is that I don't know if all of the supervisors are aware of the impact relative to the first two paragraphs. Let's set aside those that are identified in terms of the three department heads. If you dig a little bit deeper in terms of those individuals that have been dedicated county employees for 20-plus years, public servants, forget the appointees. There's appointees that are also dedicated public servants. But forget the appointees for a moment. Make sure you know who's being impacted by those first two paragraphs. It's dedicated Milwaukee County employees that are doing a fantastic job for the county. And it's just something that you need to take a look at and consider when you make this decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Tyler.
Mr. Rosicolo? Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure the record's clear that I understand Director Tyler, you know, saying that this is this position in IMSD, we have to do this. Well, then, we aren't saying that IMSD can't do it. The amendment clearly says they can expend up to $250,000 to do this. And it's up to, I'm leaving it up to the director's discretion to spend his $14 million the way he sees fit. If he decides that this is not the priority, that's his choice. If he decides it is a priority and he can't do it under the existing budget, then he has to make some difficult decisions. But you can't lay this at the feet of the board, that somehow if we don't give sales tax money for this, it can't get done. This is an administrative decision. I'm leaving it to the administrator to do it. I just don't think we need to take sales tax money to do it.
Dr. Colton, if any of the supervisor wants to weigh in, that will happen, and then we're going to vote.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. I'd like to get some clarification on how the people in the first part were handpicked to either get salary cuts or raises. What was the rationale behind that? What kind of analysis went into to figuring out how much their salaries should be cut, looking at comparables? If I could just hear a little more about that analysis, I think it would be helpful.
Mr. Chair, that was explained already.
And Mr. Chair, I don't, as the administration said yesterday, I don't want to get into personnel decisions in open session. Ms. Colton, you had this amendment for 24 hours. We spoke about it yesterday. If that question didn't arise to you during the day, you could have spoken to me. I would be happy to talk to you about it. But I'm not gonna sit and talk about everyone's salary publicly and what it is and what it would be. I just don't think that's appropriate at this time.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's important to point out, while there's concern about the individuals that are impacted by this, by the first two paragraphs, there are almost 5,000 people that work for this large business. And depending on how you adjust that number, sometimes it's 4,400, sometimes it's whatever. But the point is that we have a number of employees, and we need to focus on shared pain in this budget. And if we all bear our weight, we can continue to move forward. So I think Supervisor Cullen has put forth a great amendment. I know some people aren't going to like it. I get that. But we have other employees that, while they are waiting on decisions as well, you know, their benefits are being cut, and more costs are being put on those employees too. So everybody is holding down their weight in this budget, and I think it's a good amendment. So I encourage my colleagues to support it so that we can move forward. And like the supervisor said, we're not saying that they can't get the things done that are proposed. They will have to find it, just like how they find everything else.
Dr. Colton and Director Colon, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll.
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors.
No, ma'am. I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll. I believe that we've had a discussion. You had a discussion with Supervisor Cullen. You asked a question, and committee members gave you an answer.
No, they didn't. They didn't get an answer.
Well, I heard Supervisor Cullen indicate that these were personnel matters, and he didn't want to talk about the merits of one person.
It's a budget matter.
Well, it's a budget matter, and he doesn't want to talk about what one person gets versus what another.
It seems like a secretive way to do business.
Ma'am?
It seems like there's some lack of transparency. There's individuals being targeted here. I think we're exposing ourselves to potential lawsuits. I think it'd be helpful to have a longer discussion about this.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Haas.
Aye.
Romo West.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Cullen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. Amendment 1A021 is approved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one further comment.
Go ahead, sir.
I would just like the record to reflect, and I don't know if Mr. Bargren's still in the room, that Dr. Colton recognized those first two paragraphs at the budget matter. That was the administration's position. That's what she just said. So we're aware that everybody thinks it's the budget.